Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, the U.S. Supreme Court upholds birthright citizenship. Lots of new laws go into effect tomorrow in Georgia, and Tybee Island is losing its beaches.
Vegetation takes root and it grows out, so the sand and sand dunes is now turning into lands.
Today's Tuesday, June 30th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court rejected President Donald Trump's attempt to redefine birthright citizenship in a 6-3 decision. GPB's Chase McGee has more on what this means for families in Georgia.
According to U.S. Census data, around 12% of Georgia's residents were born somewhere other than the U.S. That's around 1 in 8 Georgians. The ruling in Trump v. Barbara upholds a long-held understanding that their children born in the U.S. will be U.S. citizens, even if their parents are here temporarily or without legal status. Emory Law professor Polly J. Price says the administration's proposed alternative would have created a legal mess.
The biggest problem would be trying to figure out not just the mother's status, but the father's too. You've got to sort of prove not only who the father was, but what their status was.
And that would be complicated, since around half of Georgia's foreign-born residents are naturalized U.S. citizens. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Dozens of new laws go into effect tomorrow in Georgia. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
The laws include one that increases penalties for several offenses like fentanyl trafficking, pimping and pandering, and blocking a highway during an unpermitted demonstration. The cell phone ban in public schools up to 8th grade passed in 2025 will officially go into full effect, but many schools have already implemented the ban. More medical conditions have been approved for the state's medical THC program. A law aiming to protect the elderly from exploitation will allow banks to delay suspicious transactions or place holds on accounts. And shelters will be able to screen potential pet adopters thanks to a new publicly searchable animal cruelty database. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
Also going into effect tomorrow, a new law promises sweeping changes to how homeowners and homeowners associations resolve their disputes. Among other provisions, the bill sets up a hearing process for HOA conflicts overseen by the Secretary of State's office. Atlanta attorney Janet Bozeman specializes in HOA law. She says the new regulations will increase costs.
Instead of helping the parties work it out, you've probably created a process by which more disputes will go to court.
The bill was aimed at what its sponsor called rogue HOAs, but Bozeman worries its regulations will burden smaller associations, the vast majority of which, she says, are, quote, trying very hard to work with people who don't understand HOA rules. The Georgia Senate has sworn in Adrian White Cardin to represent the 7th District in Gwinnett County. Cardin's swearing in brings the state Senate back to full capacity. The Democrat won the special election to fill Nabila Parks' seat after Parks resigned to run for lieutenant governor. Cardin will face Republican Aziz Shabazz Sheikh in November, when voters will choose who will fill the seat for a full 2 years. Scientists say about half of the world's beaches will be gone by the end of the century, largely due to climate change. At Georgia's Tybee Island, beachgoers are seeing less and less sand. But what happens when new sand appears, and who takes the helm of caring for it? GPB's Jillian Magtoto has more from Tybee Island.
The tideline on Tybee Island gets higher every year. Tybee Mayor Brian West announced that beaches have shrunk by 60% since 2020. Managing that loss has been the job of city manager Brett Bell.
That's been our story, is like, how do we address this rapid erosion that we're seeing? And then in the middle of it, all of a sudden, we had to deal with this sort of like growing part of the island. This section didn't exist at all.
The growth isn't new. In fact, it's been happening for decades, but the city's attention to it is. Bell first saw the spot last year when nearby residents asked to expand a bridge crossing it.
And I realized, okay, this is not a normal property.
For one thing, it's so new, it's never been bought or sold or zoned.
Which causes an issue because nobody owns the property. It's hard to permit the property.
For projects like bridge expansions. And as the sand has grown, the spot has held water, meaning that
vegetation takes root and it grows out. So the sand and sand dunes is now turning into land.
So is this a forest? Is it a beach prairie? Either way, this is now among the largest single pieces of property on the island.
It's really important habitat for birds, land turtles, sea turtles, nests just off the shore.
Even if, according to the law, and to resident Rick Hogan, it's a
no man's land.
Hogan says the neighborhood looks after this new land just past his backyard.
We've been taking care of it for 30 years.
That means once a year clearing the trees that block the neighborhood's coveted ocean view.
It's a great location because we get a sunrise in the morning, we get a sunset in the afternoon.
Hogan and other residents spend $6,000 a year to employ someone to bush hog the area.
We don't want those out here because they would destroy the views. That is our overriding motivation.
Meanwhile, Brett Bell says the city wants to manage the same trees in the same space.
It tends to crowd out more beneficial plants and native plants that want to grow out here, things like native grasses.
The tree is called Chinese tallow. It's an invasive species from East Asia and has already colonized other parts of the island and wetlands in the south. The city and residents both want to clear the tallow, but
the problem with the bush hog is for invasive species, it tends to spread those seeds around. It tends to make it worse over the longer term.
The neighbors may have been making their problem with the tallow trees worse all of these years. So the city is trying something else. The city asked nonprofit Birds Georgia to apply herbicide to the tallow's roots. The city also tried to burn the property earlier this year with the Georgia Forestry Commission, but humidity, paired with the effects of past bush hogging, caused some hiccups, Bell said. The fire didn't spread well. Resident Rick Hogan sees these efforts as failures. He doesn't trust that the government can tackle the issue.
They had not been here over the preceding 29 years that we have been doing this.
Hogan points to a neighboring property owned by the city, full of Chinese tallow he fears could be spreading seeds.
So you can see those are 50, 60 feet tall.
Still, city manager Brett Bell says he wants to work with residents.
Long term, the plan is to work with the neighbors to zone the property environmental conservation to protect it.
Though Tybee Island residents recently stopped a motion for the city to rezone the land as city property. For now, it's still a no man's land. For GPB News, I'm Jillian Magtoto on Tybee Island.
A group that represents residents and businesses around Metro Atlanta's Lake Lanier is raising concerns about a commercial navigation project downstream. The Lake Lanier Association yesterday called on the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to rigorously assess the economic impact of the project, which is aimed at boosting distressed communities in South Georgia, Alabama, and North Florida. The group says the project would threaten more than $1 billion in annual recreation spending on the lake and the drinking water supply for nearly 5 million people in North Georgia. And that's a wrap on Georgia Today. Make sure you come back tomorrow. And subscribing to this podcast is a great way to remember to do that. You can also check out the latest headlines anytime at gpb.org/news. Now, if you've got feedback for us, or maybe there's something happening in your community that you think we should know about, email us. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.